Now, Colin Farrell is very much in the news in the last 24 hours because he's been nominated, as you all know at this stage, for a Best Actor Oscar. Of course, it's been a fantastic 24 hours for the Irish because there were so many Irish nominations this year and we're delighted for all of them. But we're not going to talk about Colin Farrell's acting this afternoon. I am rather going to speak about an interview he gave earlier this year, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, in which he discussed the joys of solitude. Now, I'm not sure who he was speaking to at the time, but it was an extensive interview when he looked back on the lockdown period and he said that he discovered during lockdown that he quite likes his own company. And having been forced to spend many hours and many days alone during lockdown, he discovered that he actually finds great peace of mind and great enjoyment in solitude. And it got me thinking, we do talk a lot about loneliness and of course that's a terrible thing. But there are quite a lot of people out there who quite enjoy their own company. And is there something to be learned from that? Well, I'm joined on the line to chat some more about this by Rachel Gatto, who is a regular radio contributor, as well as a best-selling author, life coach and clinical hypnotherapist, and someone who loves solitude. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Deirdre. Lovely to be on again.
It's lovely to speak to you again. So, Rachel, I gather you're with Colin Farrell. You like a bit of solitude.
Absolutely. I'm in Colin camp entirely. Now, I have to say, Deirdre, I am a people's person and I get great energy from being around people. But the flip side of that is that I also enjoy spending large swathes of time alone. I actually really enjoy going into a piece of time where I know I'm not going to be disturbed. And that could be a couple of days, Deirdre. And so I find that I feel restored when I've been alone a lot of the time, when I know that nobody's going to be coming around. And I go into a completely different mind space. It's incredible what happens when you are truly alone.
Really? And would you go an entire weekend all on your own, for example?
I would. And I almost have a ritual when I know that I'm going to have a weekend alone. I'll buy things in that I like to eat, and I may even buy a bottle of wine and I know that I'm going to have a glass of that. But it's more than that. It's about the spread of time that I know is out in front of me, and it's something that I can do with what I like. And how I can describe it, Deirdre, is my head could be very, very busy, for instance, after a week seeing clients and working with people on their issues and helping them with their transformations. And my head is quite busy. And I notice if I am having a weekend alone, as I go into the weekend, my mind is very, very busy. But by Saturday lunchtime, something else happens and my mind drops back a pace. And I find that it's soothing. And it really is a soothing attitude. A soothing feeling. And the thing is that when you mentioned earlier about the loneliness and aloneness, it's a completely different feeling because it's a choice. And I'm making a choice to spend time in my own company. And you know what? I find my own company is really good. I really quite like myself. but it wasn't always like that, Deirdre, I can tell you.
It's an acquired taste, you're saying.
Maybe I'm an acquired taste and I found that out. When I was in my 20s, I used to dread being alone and time would never pass fast enough when I was alone and I would get quite anxious. Now I find if I don't have the time alone, I'm craving it and I do need that level of solitude. And I love to think, and sometimes I'm not thinking about anything in specific. I just like being alone with my thoughts. And Nicola, my daughter, often says to me, God, wouldn't you just put some radio on or a bit of music or something? How can you stand the silence? And actually, it's in the silence that I find the jewels and the beauty. There's this gorgeous salve that comes over my busy brain and I settle back into a lovely pace. It's really gorgeous, I find.
That's extraordinary. And I find that so foreign to me, that whole idea, because you mentioned there that you wouldn't have music or anything on in the background. What I can't handle at all, I'm the opposite, is an empty house where there, like if I have to be on my own for a few hours, I don't mind it too much once it's only for a few hours. But then I'd have to have the radio on or the television on, even if I'm not watching the television. I have to have some background noise. So yeah. You reckon that, you know, that the actual dead silence is good for us?
It is, and I'm laughing actually as I think of myself. The music or some sort of background sound to me would be pulling me away from this sense of having this space for me. This is something that I can enrich, and how I can go further into the silence and notice actually what happens for me. Sometimes, of course, I don't always find my company is the greatest, and sometimes my head is telling me stories that I don't particularly want to hear. But what I have noticed is that the more I stay present to myself in the silence, the more I become restored. I feel it's a bit like, you know, if we're talking about an energy exchange, during the week, I love what I do. I'm passionate about transformations and helping people. But my battery needs to be refilled. And I feel that this time alone is my way of plugging back in and restoring my energy and restoring all I've got to give all over again. I think we do need balance in our lives. And it can feel brave, actually, to say, okay, I'm going to spend time alone. And a little trick I always use is I can sometimes, if I'm on my walk, listen to a podcast, and I always challenge myself for the last 20 minutes of my walk to unplug and to notice exactly what's around me and my environment. And I think if anyone wanted to experiment with being alone or trying out being in solitude, something as simple as beginning a walk without being plugged into a distraction and just noticing the environment is probably a lovely way to start and see what happens, and don't be scared about what comes up.
Why do you think, Rachel, some people are almost terrified of long periods of solitude?
Well, I suppose there would be a lot of origins of that. But we do fear our crazy monkey minds, because our minds tell us lots of stories about ourselves that aren't true, and our minds are judgmental. I mean, actually, Deirdre, this is an interesting little fact. Between 75 and 80% of our thoughts as humans that arise naturally in our mind every day are negative. They're all negative. So if you think about, if we take away the distractions from our day and we're plugged into our minds and our minds are entirely negative, we can hear stories and thoughts about ourselves that are really distressing. And I think that learning to live with our thoughts and not to latch onto them and allow them to flow through us as opposed to finding them the truth is probably one of the reasons why people fear it the most. But there are safety issues. You know, in childhood, people wouldn't have felt safe. There are so many root causes of why we fear being alone. But I do believe most of it is probably because of our thoughts and what our thoughts tell us.
Okay, so when you hear the expression, you know, I was left alone to my thoughts, that could be the very thing that some people are dreading. Would you think, though, at the same time, that people who do dread that should actually, you know, move out of their comfort zone and try being alone, try to set aside a weekend or a night or whenever that there's just you and your thoughts? And do you think maybe we all have the ability to overcome that fear then?
I think we all have capacity to train ourselves to enjoy being alone. I would never say a should, because I think should begins as a judgment. But if somebody is curious to experiment with it, I would suggest, yes, just taking 15 minutes to begin and just observe. Just see what it feels like, what comes up. And if it feels uncomfortable, just acknowledge and say to yourself, oh, this is feeling uncomfortable, and then become curious about why. I mean, the thing is there is a lot of the science out there that's saying, you know, quieting the mind, spending time in nature, spending time alone, it is uncomfortable, but it allows us to be more creative. We can be less judgmental on ourselves when we can accept that the stories our mind is telling us aren't true. We can use it as a space for exploration and creativity. Once we have that open space in front of us, anything can happen. And it's about being excited about what will happen. It may be uncomfortable, it may be not comfortable. But when we stay curious about our minds and what life is giving us when we just take silence as company and as our companion, who knows? It's very exciting. I think Colin is onto something there.
Colin is onto something. Yes, and actually one of our listeners got in touch as well via Twitter and said he loves to paint and that he can while away hours on end in complete solitude painting. So, you know, there's lots of people out there who are creative. They might be writers or painters or sculptors or whatever. And I'm sure that solitude is probably artistically good for you as well, in that it probably throws up inspiration.
Absolutely. We need space. My own mother is an artist and she paints in complete silence. And her inspiration probably comes from that silence and that open space of what will occur when I'm not filling the gaps, when I'm not filling the silences. And I think as humans, we have enormous capacity for growth. And if we fill every moment of our living life, filling it up with external things, we won't know the riches of what's within and what we could actually uncover within ourselves.
Yeah, well, there's a thought for the day, huh? Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And I'm dying to hear what the listeners have to say about whether they're someone who loves the solitude or doesn't, because a lot of people will fall into two different camps. Rachel, it's been a pleasure chatting to you and giving us plenty to think about this afternoon. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you, Deirdre.
That's Rachel Gatto there, who is an author, life coach and clinical hypnotherapist, talking to us about the joys of solitude. And again, just to reference that it was the actor Colin Farrell who has prompted this debate this afternoon, because he mentioned in an interview, it was actually an interview with the actor Emma Thompson for Vanity Fair, he mentioned it earlier this year, that he loves being on his own and he enjoys solitude, and it's only something he learned about himself during lockdown. So I would like to hear from other people out there who perhaps found themselves alone during lockdown, or are not necessarily even during the whole COVID pandemic, but maybe there were other times when you found yourself alone for a weekend or a week and you found it beneficial, or maybe you didn't. Maybe like me, you absolutely hated being on your own. Which camp do you fall into? Well, do tell us, 083 300 3300. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon.